acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Well, as you read through the Gospels, you begin to realize that Jesus was not someone that could be ignored. Everywhere he went, people responded to him in one of two ways. Either they found his message compelling and were drawn to him, or they were offended by his message and were repulsed by him. Nowhere is this more evident than in our gospel lesson for today. In the opening words of our lesson, St. Luke tells us, "Then drew nigh unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." Who exactly were these publicans and sinners, and what was it about Jesus that drew them to him? The word publicans is another word for tax collectors, an especially despised group, probably despised all the time, but an especially despised group in ancient Palestine because they were fellow Jews who were essentially collaborating with the Romans to collect taxes from their fellow countrymen. They were viewed as being greedy and as having a license essentially to carry out their greed. The sinners noted here would refer to anyone who was not in good standing with the religious leadership. This may have been due to their chosen profession, or it may have been due to their own poor choices. Regardless, the fact that these folks, both groups, were all sinners is not really up for debate. What was it about Jesus that drew these tax collectors and sinners to him? Well, it certainly wasn't a soft message. In fact, at the end of the preceding chapter, we find Jesus calling people to be his disciples, warning them of the cost. He says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." No easy message here. Likewise, we know that Jesus did not exactly affirm people in their sinful lifestyles. For instance, when Jesus encountered the woman at the well, he broached the subject of her many marriages as well as her current arrangements with a man who was not her husband. And when the woman who was caught in adultery was brought before him, he spoke in such a way that she was spared from being stoned. But in the final statement to her, he said, "Go and sin no more." So Jesus was not preaching an easy message, and he was not glossing over the sins of those to whom he was preaching. One older commentator writes, "What drew those sinners to Jesus was their finding in him not that righteousness full of pride and contempt with which the Pharisees assailed them, but a holiness which was associated with the tenderest love." In a nutshell, these people did not need to be convinced that they were sinners. They knew that. What they needed to know was whether God would receive them if they turned to him in repentance. The general message that they had received from the Pharisees was no. The message they received from Jesus was yes. And that is what drew them to Jesus. You can hear the contempt that the religious leaders had for Jesus receiving the publicans and sinners, where St. Luke writes in the second verse of our lesson, "And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." It was this contemptuous attitude that sparked the three parables that Jesus told in response. The three parables are the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son, commonly known to us as the prodigal son. But let us focus in on the first of these stories, the story of the lost sheep. Jesus said, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And then Jesus adds a bit of a twist at the end that points to his reason for telling this story. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. In light of the context, let us think through what Jesus is saying here. First, the lost sheep is obviously representative of the publicans and sinners that were coming to Jesus. And the shepherd is a reference to Jesus himself, who had rescued the wandering sheep. But the 99 just persons are a reference to the Pharisees and scribes. And please note that this description is not exactly straightforward. It's irony. It's tongue-in-cheek. Why do we say that? Because there are no such just persons that need no repentance. Jesus uses this description because it was what the Pharisees and scribes thought of themselves. But they were self-deceived. To quote St. Paul, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In other words, the Pharisees and scribes were not really just or righteous before God. They were self-righteous. The twist at the end is a subtle jab from Jesus, intended to be a punch in their gut, so to speak, to awaken them from their deception. The Pharisees and scribes were appalled that Jesus was eating with tax collectors and sinners, but Jesus said that there was a different attitude in heaven. He said that the angels were rejoicing in heaven whenever a sinner came to repentance. And just think, whom did the angels serve? God. Jesus is saying that the angels in heaven, who were in the presence of his Father, were rejoicing over these tax collectors and sinners turning from their sinful lives to follow him. All the while, the Pharisees and scribes were grumbling about the same scene, which means that the religious leaders were out of step with heaven. Rather than being just, they were the sinners. Rather than being on the same page with God, they were at odds with him because they were rejecting what Jesus was doing, which was precisely what the Father had sent him to do, to rescue lost sheep. This powerful parable provides a constant measuring stick that the church should constantly appeal to. We need to ask ourselves, when sinners come in among us, do we look more like a feast of joyful sinners who have been rescued by Jesus, or do we appear like a group of Pharisees and scribes that shun those whom we consider sinners? Or to say this another way, do we look more like Jesus or the religious leaders who are at odds with his ministry? I think that we know what our attitude ought to be. Most of the people that we encounter outside of the church already know deep down that they're sinners. What they want to know from us is, will God receive me if I turn to him in repentance? If I turn from my sinful life to him, will he receive me? If our immediate response is not a resounding yes, then we have some soul searching to do. May God help us to remember that we were all once lost sheep who were rescued by Jesus. And may we take on the general attitude of our good shepherd to joyfully receive the lost sheep that he brings near to our flock. Amen. Now let us remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive.